Castology.
Hey there, and welcome to Castology, the podcast where we recommend other podcasts that you should be listening to, and then we review a bunch of podcasts that we talked about last week. I'm one of your castologists, Elizabeth Best, and here with me is
Zane C. Weber.
And lastly but not leastly,
Patrick Shearer.
So today we're going to do what we do every week and recommend a podcast each at the start, and then we're going to go over what we recommended last week. Now, we have a theme this week.
We do.
We have a theme because it's November, which means NaNoWriMo. I can't say things. You explain what it is.
It's National Novel Writing Month. So this is technically an American thing, but it is celebrated
everywhere
across
now.
The world.
So yeah, basically, I've literally never heard of it before
just
in my life.
Get
you're not
the
a
first
writer.
Draft of your project done
I've written
in November.
A play once.
And people quite often will set themselves like big word limits per day. So
in the short and sweet Sydney.
Yes,
pants
you're very accomplished
I'm
writer.
Very prolific.
I won a Queensland Writers Award, so
shut up.
I once
when
won.
I was 10.
My short story once won me qualification to a writer's camp in grade 7.
Amazing.
Oh, writer's camp.
I got to meet John Marsden.
So much fun.
It was fun.
I did a writer's camp too. It was great.
So,
So what we've done is I was 10. what we do, we're doing a fictional podcast. So all of the podcasts that we recommend are fiction in whatever format that may take. It ain't real.
Yes. So yes. It's just a fictional podcast, usually a story-based podcast.
Yes.
Which isn't uncommon for you guys, but
no,
this is a different thing for me.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't listen to fiction podcasts.
Patrick mainlines information into
mainline
his veins.
Superfluous information at 1.8 times the regular speed.
You're up to 1.8.
I'm up to 1.8. I told you this.
I thought you were up to 1.7.
No, I was, and then I upgraded to 1.8. If
you're
I'm
nuts.
Doing an audiobook, it's 1.75 because you want to get a bit more theatricality.
I feel like
a
as an actor, again, I'm saying
exactly
this for the second week in
more.
A row. This is
exactly.
Disrespectful AF to your to your profession. So who would like to go first with their
I
recommendations?
I like to sit in the front row of shows. Say, hey,
you're gone
speed
first.
It up.
<You're>
I've got somewhere to be.
And then you get chucked out.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
So this is the first audio drama podcast that I started listening to.
Huh.
Way back when. So
way
it's
back
called
when.
It's way back when. Exactly then.
When?
I don't know.
We're
when
not being
it
specific.
Started.
We don't want anyone to know how old we are.
Also, I started listening to it after it was there was a f- at least after season one. So it's called Rabbits.
Oh, is it about bunnies?
Yes. It's about the fictional lives of rabbits.
Adorable.
It isn't.
Is it like Meerkat Manor from Channel 10?
That's a yes, it is. It is. It
bunnies.
Is.
Yeah.
So basically it is a story about a person whose friend has gone missing. And they kind of start investigating it a little bit and find that their friend was involved with this real-life secret society sort of
Ooh.
Game called Rabbits that has been going on for certain people for a very, very, very long time. And every so often, people are chosen to kind of be involved with this game. And it's kind of a discussion about whether or not she should continue looking at it or whether she should just leave it alone and looking for justice for her friend. I will say this hasn't aged particularly well. Audio drama is where podcasts are really kind of showing their power at the moment.
How old mm-hmm. is it, sorry?
This
way
one,
back when?
Yeah,
don't you remember?
It was,
you know when?
This was at least 5 years ago.
Okay.
So well before the big boom in podcasting. This was part of the first round of that kind of boom and an exploration of it. It is presented as kind of a documentary docudrama
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. And I loved this when it first came out. I listened to the whole thing and it really kind of got me interested in the possibility of doing like an augmented reality, which is where I thought this was going, an augmented reality kind of like
I've had an
experience.
Idea for an augmented reality podcast.
Well,
I think I told you about it.
Pitch
you should
it.
Talk after the show.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, so
it's a nice little package.
Yeah, and it's there. You can listen to it.
How many seasons?
I believe there are three.
About the same thing?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So it is kind of there's about to be another season. So it is kind of ongoing, but there is a lot of content there for you to listen to if you listen to it, latch onto it, and want to consume it.
So the later seasons, have they sort of caught up with the production demands of what an audio drama ought to be these days, and they're much tighter, or is it?
I would say yes.
Question
it is.
Mark?
Yeah. You would?
Like, they're kind of restricted by the way that they're presenting it.
Because of the docudrama.
Because of the narrative device that they've
used. I think if they were to redo this concept now, it would be very different. But I still really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking on their website now. It seems that only episode one is up, so maybe the second season has been put behind a paywall.
Oh, but I mean, yay for podcasters, for podcasters getting paid.
Getting paid.
Pay us money.
But there is a new season coming out. But I do believe that is on Luminary.
Of course it is.
Yep.
I'm going to have to start paying for Luminary, yeah. Aren't I? I've already had my 3 month trial to listen to your last recommendation.
It's Netflix for podcasts.
Mm. Yeah, but there's only so many subscription services people can pay for.
Yep.
I've got Netflix.
And Disney
and
Plus
Audible.
Is coming.
Netflix, Audible, Stan.
I've got Spotify Premium.
Stan. Spotify.
See, I don't want Spotify.
Okay.
Because I'll be tempted to listen to music rather than crush podcasts.
I do both. But I'm on a family plan for Spotify. Like, if you all live at the same address, you can have a plan so you can share with your flatmates.
I also got Scribd. S-C-R-I-B-D. Yeah,
Scribd.
I said whatever it is.
Yeah,
but Scribd. That's great because you can read so much stuff. They have plays on there.
I know.
That's why I got it.
Okay, so that's Rabbits. I'm interested to hear what you think, particularly as performers, and especially if you've got an augmented reality podcast idea for me, because
that's me.
Very interested.
That's you, Patrick.
I'm very interested in producing something like that.
Cool.
I took a very loud sip. I'm so sorry.
Delicious.
I'll forgive you.
It's an ASMR podcast now, people. Patrick, you're
yes.
going to go next.
Oh.
What are you recommending?
Am I?
Yes.
I am recommending a podcast called The Glass Cannon Podcast. It was difficult, I suppose, for me to find something nonfiction, but I found something.
Something fiction.
This is a Pathfinder podcast. Now, I don't know if you know what Pathfinder is, but it's basically a nerdier version of Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, shit.
It's the people who played Dungeons & Dragons and were like, which edition? Maybe 3.0?
It was third.
Third edition. And they were like, all these rules about like how the physics work, we love this shit. Let's get more of that. So they created an auxiliary game called
Explain what
Pathfinder.
My face is doing right now.
It's very blank, very neutral, very unimpressed.
Unimpressed was the first correct term you used.
Yeah. So this is like, I think there's like five guys. It's been a while since I've listened to it.
Yes,
I do enjoy it. I think this is why I'm recommending it, because I am also a part of a fictional Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Okay, so we need to say it's an actual play podcast.
Yes.
So they're actually playing the game
in real
time, recording it, and then producing it for consumption.
They are. They're
so
doing
it's not
all of that.
It's not a scripted Dungeons & Dragons adventure. It is actually playing, and it's much more crunchy than, say, Dragon Friends.
This sounds so exciting to me.
It is
thrilled.
Actually very exciting.
Uh-huh.
They'd actually, you can hear them roll the dice.
Oh my God. That's an immersive podcast if ever I've heard it.
They throw plastic.
Look,
on a
this
table.
Is as
oh my God.
Fictional as I'm willing to get. episodes are roughly an hour long. There's so many. There's like over 200. The first episode I listened to because I was
200 episodes of listening to somebody place.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. The first one I listened to was like well into the series, because I was like, I want to see where they're at like right now. It was a little bit better than the first episodes, which is what I ended up listening to. So they've been pretty consistently like entertaining.
Have they, Patrick?
Yeah, they have.
Have they?
Yeah. They're quite funny. I like their personalities. The story's good. I think they're using a module from Pathfinder. So it's, you know, it's a written campaign. It's not just like Ben throwing something together.
It's not homebrew. Yeah. So it's published material that they're playing through. So obviously they're acting their characters.
Yes. Yeah. And they're not voice actors, but they're just.
Oh, so you're telling me that people who can't do characters are doing character work on a podcast?
Well, I just want to make a differentiation between this and something like a Critical Role, where it's like legitimate voice actors doing the thing. These are just people who like the game, hanging out, having a good time.
Okay,
it's much like this podcast, really. Real life friends having a good time. Anyway, listen.
I mean,
where's some dice, Zane? I want to roll them on the table so everyone can hear.
You have said in the past that you want to learn how to play D&D.
Only so that I'm not left out of your little nerd conversations.
I mean, I'm never more than like one step away from just like a whole bunch of dice. So,
have you seen that?
Yeah, there's like the biggest freaking.
It's like a fishbowl.
It's a fishbowl full of dice.
With I also a dragon have on top. A dice in this little box right here. Oh my God, I didn't even need to look at it to find them.
Yep. Cool.
Okay, so a Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast.
Pathfinder.
Glass
Cannon is
the Glass Cannon podcast.
Okay,
and
do you know what a glass cannon is?
A cannon made of glass.
No, it's a term used in gaming typically that means you're fully offensive with no defenses. So picture like a wizard who can cast a fireball spell, but if you were to shoot him with an arrow,
it's a metaphor being that once you have done all your damage, you're shattered and broken. And you can't do anything.
I feel
more
shattered and broken after this conversation. Let's move on.
To your recommendation.
To my recommendation. So my recommendation is an audio play. But what's different about it is that it was created for a reason. So it's called Baby, It's Cold Outside. And it is done by Duck Soup Films in association with crisis.org.uk. It's basically trying to highlight the plight of homelessness and how difficult that can be. So they've written a fictional play, especially like around the holidays. So it's set around Christmas time. And Chris O'Dowd from the IT Crowd and a bunch of other really great stuff, and I love him, is the main character in this. And he's a father taking his kid for the holidays. And he's homeless, and it's navigating the troubles that comes with that, with the pride issues and the, you know, trying not to let people know but make sure that your kid has a good Christmas. And I guess what I really liked about this podcast, other than the acting, because Chris O'Dowd and Anne-Marie Duff are great, was the fact that it was a narrative way to bring attention to something without having like a very obvious telethon kind of thing. And
so do they reference that partnership at all?
Yeah, so like at the end of the podcast, they'll be like, you know, crisis.org.uk, donate, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of, you know, it's almost like the Red Nose Day kind of skits that they do, but it's not funny, you know?
Yeah,
like it's kind of like a fictional, enjoyable, watchable, listenable rather, way of drawing attention to something and then kind of asking you to open your pockets or think about it at least.
Think about opening your pockets.
Yeah, think about opening your pockets or think about the issue and how you can help. So it's 3 episodes.
Oh, so short.
Very short, yep. Limited series. They said that they are going to be partnering with different organisations. They've formed a story collective called Story Glass, and they hope to be bringing more audio plays to the fore, and I don't know if they're going to be partnering with other organisations or whether this was just a one-off, but I think it's a really nice way to it's a good way to draw attention to something that's a messed up issue.
It's an approachable way,
yes,
to learn
it's
about
consumable it. In a way that doesn't feel like you're being preached at too much. I say too much
better
because
than someone knocking on your door.
Yes, everything is better than anyone knocking on your door.
Because who wants to talk to other people?
No,
I don't.
I stay in my home to get away from other people. Don't knock on my. I've got a sign on my door that says "Do not knock on my door."
I do too, and people fucking knocked.
They do too. I'm like, don't. What did you not see? There's a. Bye.
They brought children with knows things.
Oh, no.
I was like, this is like, okay, this is a bit much.
By nose things, I'm assuming you mean like a little oxygen.
Yeah,
issue.
Like oxygen. And then
not like, just like issues with their noses. Like
brought kids with oxygen
nose
things.
Piercings.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
did
God.
You donate?
No. I told look at the sign. It says, do not knock. Get out of here.
Did the children cry? Okay.
Yeah, they were paid to look sad. I could tell.
You're a horrible
crisis actors is what they were.
They were basically horrible crisis actors.
So, baby, it's cold outside.
I
partnership
donate.
With crisis.org.uk. Chris O'Dowd. And it's all voice. It's not narrated, so it's all voice acting. So you're just like listening to the events unfold.
Oh, much like Carrier.
Yes, but not as immersive an experience. It's just more like a TV show without visuals, really. So yes, that's me. And that is our recommendations for our NaNoWriMo fictional.
So it's like being a blind person.
Yeah, Patrick.
And watching TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. So with that, let's go on to
I gave you a good segue into Carrier, if you wanted to take it.
Why do we need that?
Aren't we reviewing it? Or did we review
it? We did that last week, dude.
Okay, yeah. No,
you are... wow.
So scattered.
Yes. So we're going to go on to our reviews now. Not Carrier. No, no.
We've already done it.
So we reviewed we recommended three podcasts last week. Three very different. We had like science, sex, and weird musical shit.
Is that what...
Sure.
So, look, I want to start with the science, actually.
With Sean Carroll's Mindscape.
Yes, what was that about, Patrick?
That is hosted by the theoretical physicist Sean Carroll, and it typically features him interviewing another scientist where they might talk about some sciencey stuff, maybe a theory or a... what's another word for a theory?
Hypothesis?
Hypothesis that is particularly compelling. An hour, roughly.
Yeah.
It's pretty short for me.
For you, yeah.
For me, yeah. What did you guys make of this?
So as I said last week, I listened to half of the Sean McFarland episode because I went, Seth, sorry. Why am I thinking Sean?
Sean McAuliffe.
No, I don't know. We were talking about The Good Place. Maybe I'm thinking about Sean from The Good Place. Anyway, Seth McFarland, he's great. I started listening to the episode, but I felt like there was too much because it was talking a lot about the scientific, the love he has for science fiction and how that comes out in his work, specifically in The Orville. And I actually would like to watch that show. So I felt halfway through the episode, I was like, well, it's on my to watch list. So I would like to not have all these things spoiled. I was really enjoying the episode, but I needed to yeet out of there so that I didn't spoil stuff for myself.
Wow, you are such a millennial right now.
I yoted. I hang around too many young people these days. It's Gina's fault. Anyway, I then went on to scroll through and see what appealed to me. And I don't think it's any surprise that my next one was about forensic science with relation to murder. And even when I don't even know what her name is because I'm really disrespectful and I lost my notes. My computer shat itself. Anyway, the woman who was being interviewed even went, he's like, murder. And she's like, murder. And I'm like, that's what I do. So she is a...
You guys would be best friends in real life.
Oh my God, right? The intro, he was very much the host. What's his name?
Sean Carroll.
Yeah, that's where I got Sean from. Fucking hell.
Yeah, duh.
So he was talking about at the start, most of the time when he introduces episodes, he's like, yeah, so maybe you might get some ideas on how to do this and this. And he's like, do not get ideas from this episode. Do not get them at all.
Stop thinking.
Just enjoy it. Hopefully this is just interesting, but don't get ideas. So they were talking about fascinating different ways that forensic scientists are like detectives of the nerd world and, you know, how she got into forensic science and how to dispose of a body and what evidence people leave behind that they don't think they leave behind. And she was talking about how, you know, most people think that something really difficult is finding a needle in a haystack. But she's like, that's actually quite easy to do because a needle is very different from hay. Whereas forensic science is like finding a needle, a specific needle in a stack of needles. So, you know, they have to kind of find a particular, isolate a particular chemical or like makeup within a whole big pile of other stuff. But As someone who loves true crime, I found it absolutely fascinating. I love listening to that kind of process. I did think about getting into forensics at one point, but forensic psychology, not forensic science, because I'm terrible at the science and the chemistry and the...
You just have to pick up semen all the time.
But anyway, if you love true crime, you will love this episode. I really enjoyed his style of interviewing too.
You're about to say, if you love this... If you love true crime, you'll love this podcast. Like, Liz, it's not what it's
no,
about.
No, that's why I said episode, because I, you know stuff and say stuff well. Anyway.
I love true crime.
And I just love that shit. But I think from the 1.5 episodes that I listened to, I like his interview style. I like
He's very curious, which is
curious
what you want.
And cash. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be bombarded with scientific facts thrown at my face.
He's super smart, but he doesn't like...
Flaunt it.
Carry on like that. It's just like, it's very approachable.
Yes, incredibly approachable, I thought, for the ones I listened to anyway. Zane?
This is my jam.
Yeah.
Like, I figured it would
hard
be.
Hard science is what I'm all about.
I like softened hard science.
But so hard science is real science.
Yeah.
Whereas soft science is kind of like talking about the things around science. Like,
right.
At no point do they say anything that is factually untrue.
Mm.
And I particularly like the episodes where he's talking to another scientist. This is one of the episodes where, this is one of the podcasts where I started listening and then I was just like, okay, well, this is the rest of my day. So I'm just going to listen to this for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It makes me smile.
Yeah. It's a really good podcast. And like you said, like he's very intellectually curious. Mm. I really liked the episodes where he has another scientist on and they know that they disagree about something and they just kind of both politely jibe at each other about it.
Yeah.
But they don't ever like, they kind of give both sides
actually,
of it.
Actually, that's a funny thing because I did start listening to an episode where he was talking to someone about empathy and how the other guy was like, no, empathy shouldn't be something that we should aspire to. Mm. And I went, you know what? This episode's going to make me angry, even though he's like, I think empathy is great, but the guy I was talking to thinks it's shit. I was like, nope, can't listen. Going to be too cranky in the end. They do a good job of, it, when he disagrees with them, of not having like a
not
brawl.
Making a big issue of it. They literally
politely
present
disagree,
both sides and the kind of the science behind both sides, and then they just leave it at that. Like, this is an easy subscribe, and this is something that I'll listen to forever. Yes. Yeah, I'm
great.
Surprised
I should,
haven't found.
I'm
it before.
Surprised you've not heard
I
of
should,
it before now. Yeah,
probably mention I was introduced to this guy through Joe Rogan. He's had him on like once or twice. So if you want to get to know him a little better, listen to those. He's got like, you know, at least 2-3 hour podcasts, and he talks about that very fact that he'll get people on and he enjoys actually having a discussion where
absolutely.
They might disagree, but you know, that's what it's about.
That is what it's about. And this podcast handles it really well. Very, very impressive.
I think it's just a Liz issue. I am so about everybody needing empathy that discussing the idea that people shouldn't have empathy just would make me too fucking furious. So
again, but like I'm not sure that that's a science discussion so much as a philosophy discussion.
Yeah, but that was on the podcast.
And that's the truth. Yeah, they talk about science and philosophy. So
cool. Well, I think I would like to have a bit of Frank and Beans next, lads. The podcast. So the podcast was about Beth and Brian, two people from, I hope, the US.
They sound American.
They did sound American. They didn't have like the Canadian twang. Talking about sex, dating and relationships in a relatable yet amusing manner. What did we think? Oh, it was a listener submission too.
Yeah. I really enjoyed them.
Have to be nice.
We didn't have to be nice. We have to be honest. We've been quite honest with a few listener submissions. I enjoyed it. They're both very personable and they're both very frank.
And Beans.
not to make a pun out of it, Liz. They're both very frank in the way that they discuss sex and sexuality. I do, like you said, I have a little bit of an issue with the resources that they use. And also just a little bit of polish issue, I think. Because a lot of the times they were just kind of talking and then no one knew where they were going and they just breathed into the microphone for a couple of seconds. And like, you can just delete those couple of seconds and no one will know that you had a brain blank. But other than that, like, the content is fine, I think, and very enjoyable to listen to. You know, just a little bit of polishing on the on the editing side of things, and I think, yeah, it's a good podcast.
Yeah, I think, as we were saying, like, there was a couple of episodes that I listened to where they were going, okay, and as always, we've got research to back us up, and then they'd list an article that was like a magazine, not researchy article, which
I will say, I listened to the butt stuff episode, the threesome episode, and
the threesome one too,
and two of the cheating episodes.
Yeah.
So yeah. I listened to a few of them because I did enjoy it. It was just kind of like I wanted to see if the problems that I was picking up on or the issues that I had were kind of in all the episodes.
Yeah.
And some are worse than others, but overall, like, I can very much enjoy listening to this one.
Yeah, I thought so. This is the thing. It's enjoyable. It's and I just really like Beth and Brian.
Yes,
I just like them a lot.
They're the main draw.
I like them a lot. I like you guys. Patrick.
I think similar to what Zane said, I did like them as people. I enjoyed their personalities, their banter.
Mm.
The content, it felt like in the threesome episode they were just like, they'd ripped a BuzzFeed article and they were like talking through it. I was like, I don't give a fuck about a BuzzFeed article about, you know, threesomes and how to, it just felt, that particular episode just felt a little bit like the source of what they were talking about was rubbish.
Yeah.
And it was like they were just talking about a rubbish thing written by a rubbish person.
Yeah, that's not kind of what person, we were saying, yeah, is that if they were to grab their source material for the discussion off either slightly more reputable or make it more obvious that it's satirical and ridiculous.
Yeah, that
and I think it's important, like, if you're not an expert in your field to do your due diligence in finding resources for other people to refer to other than you.
Mm.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's just a matter of, like, refining their process a little bit. They've got the basics down.
They've got what a lot of other podcasts don't have, and that's good chemistry between the hosts.
Yeah, I think if they refine their material, they've got a great platform to give information to people.
And they've got a lot of content. A lot of episodes.
They're enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah, cool. So that is Frank and Beans.
Now.
The controversial one. And I specifically left this one till last.
Because we're going to fight live on air.
I'm going to be the referee because
Patrick didn't do his homework.
As a disclaimer. This was on a Luminary
exclusive
podcast. And I was like, oh, it's not on my podcast catcher. I'll listen to it later. And that never came because I have a very busy week, I'm sorry to say.
So it is Anthem Homunculus.
So I have no idea what happened.
Anthem Homunculus.
I look forward to your reviews, though.
Which is a musical podcast written by John Cameron Mitchell, who originated the act of Hedwig and the Angry Inch and then took that through Off-Broadway to Broadway. And it's basically a dark comedy about this failed actor who has a brain tumor doing a telethon on an app to raise money for his surgery and basically telling you his life story and singing songs that he's written or half written, et cetera, et cetera. And you kind of go with that on that journey towards getting rid of this tumor in his head.
So.
When I first discovered that this existed, I sent a group message to our Castology page going, holy shit, have you seen this? I signed up to Luminary immediately for my free month, literally for this podcast. I really wanted to love it. I really did, because the star power in it alone, like, I very rarely am not into anything that Patti LuPone does.
Expound
or
on
Glenn
the
Close.
Star power.
Patti LuPone, Glenn Close, John Cameron Mitchell, other people.
Close.
Yeah, Glenn Close.
Yeah.
Like big names.
The
so
wife?
I didn't. Yeah, the wife.
The only one.
The buddy boiler?
So I had no problems with this podcast, but I listened to three episodes. The fact that I never wanted to go back and finish it probably says, like, I felt no draw to finish it. I felt, it's very weird, which is fine. I didn't think that any of the songs stuck in my head. The performances were wonderful and I really enjoyed hearing the songs, but they didn't make me feel like they added a lot to the story other than just being nice, good compositions. And the fact that it is about somebody potentially dying of a brain tumor and I didn't want to see that through kind of said something not so great to me.
So the picture has a little mouth in his forehead.
Yeah.
Is that because the tumor talks to him?
So, without revealing any spoilers.
Yeah.
A term for a a tumor that comes from stem cells that can grow any kind of body parts, so like where you get your hair and your teeth and your things in a tumor. A
tumor comes from stem cells, did you just say?
A tumor that comes from a
specific
stem cell,
tumor that does come from a stem cell
is called a homunculus.
Yeah.
Which, and a homunculus is kind of a miniature human.
I only know the term homunculus from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
I don't know what
that is. I don't get that reference either. So basically.
But it's like an alchemical, in this, it's like an alchemical miniature entity. Intelligent entity.
Yeah. Or an actual tumor that exists in an actual person that has body parts of its own, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the first act of this musical is very much, this is my history, this is who I am, this is why I'm trying to get through to it, and you get up to about $13,000 raised, et cetera, et cetera. The second act, they insert a new piece of near-future technology where there is something in his brain where you can check on an app to see the size of the tumor and what's doing, what it's like, the growth and how bad it is. They see that it has a spine and a brain, and then it explodes, and a kind of, there's a religious movement around this whole thing, et cetera, et cetera. It gets very weird.
Yeah.
And like you said, nothing that you said is, I feel, incorrect.
Yeah.
The songs aren't get into your head songs. Mm-mm. The songs are very kind of folky,
art housey storytelling.
This is who I am, and this is what I'm feeling.
Is it like, oh, that's right, we're a musical, we're supposed to have songs?
Yeah.
Would it be better, you think, just as an audio drama?
No. I think it's perfect as it is.
There's nothing wrong with this. This is the thing. Like, there was no part of me that went, oh, I don't like this. It's just that I just didn't feel any compulsion to go back and finish it.
Now, there is a kind of drag performance where you highlight the ugly parts of a person. That is what this is to musical theatre. It is musical theatre about the ugliness of humanity, but finding that even those ugly parts presented in a human story can be appreciated. John Cameron Mitchell is obsessed with history and the history of the gay movement. Like, there's a whole bit about his history and his love affairs, etc., etc. I'm interested in how autobiographical it is, but yeah, it kind of takes a turn for the. He has like a stepsister or an adopted sister who's a cult leader. And she comes back, and the story's about how his brother died, and then his tumor lets him pass into the next life, and he has discussions with these people that have died before him. It's very metaphysical.
I just don't think John Cameron Mitchell is for me.
I feel like I'm
honestly
really going to like this if I ever get around to it.
I think it's very, very John Cameron Mitchell.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't like the taste of John Cameron Mitchell, then you probably
I've tried to watch Hedwig a couple of times because they did make a movie out of it.
They did, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, the performances in this are great, but I just don't think I'm a John Cameron Mitchell person. And I know a lot of people I know are obsessed, so they're going to be like, how dare you? Because in the musical world, like, a lot of people really enjoy his stuff. Just not for
Hedwig
me.
Hedwig is an acquired taste as well. Yeah. Like, it's not.
I mean, I wonder if I listened to it a couple of times, whether it would grow on me and I'd find more meaning, or even if I finished it. But
I think listening to the cast recording, you find the joy in a couple of the songs that you miss on the first go through. Origin of Love to this day is one of my favorite songs, and it's very approachable. But also Wig in a Box is heartbreaking. But yeah, I really enjoy this musical. And I think if you are a fan of John Cameron Mitchell, particularly a fan of Hedwig, definitely get onto Luminary, get that free month and stay with it. I'm going to say stay with it until the end of the second act. So until they find, until they go into his brain and find what they find, Because at that point, if that's too weird for you, you won't like the rest of the story.
Yeah.
But it does go very interesting places, and it, yeah, is this, it's kind of an audio diary as well.
Yeah.
Through the conceit of the telethon. So it's very, very much like, I love this. I listened to it. I started listening to it and I couldn't stop listening to it. I listened through the whole thing and then I did the same the next day. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So weird.
Opposite. Opposite. I don't think I've
ever listened to the same podcast twice.
I listened to Terms twice.
I listened to Carrier twice.
Yeah. I'll rewatch old episodes of The Simpsons, but that's about it.
All right. Well,
cool,
I think
so that's us done for this week. So you can find us on all the social medias. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on thatsnotcanon.com/castology. We've got a handy dandy form if you want to submit, because as today's episode showed, Frank and Beans, listener submission.
Yep.
We've got lots of people who can listen to your podcast or podcast that you just, if you rate it, let us know what it is. As always, don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mum, tell your uncle, tell your next door neighbour. Go knock on their door and say, have you heard about our Lord and Saviour Castology? No. That's sorry, religious people. So I have been Liz Best, and with me has been
Zane C. Weber.
And across the table,
Patrick Shearer.
Man of mystery, as always. We'll be back next week for more podcast recommendations.
Just because I was like, like burping, but like hard. So I had to, all I could manage was a whisper.
What a note to end on.
And on that note, a goodbye.
Hi there, my name's Jessica Kate.
And I'm Ellen Rose.
And we're the hosts of Murder in the Land of Oz,
a new Australian true crime podcast.
Yes. We're starting off in Brisbane, our hometown, because
relatable.
We're going to be coming to you every second Monday.
So give us a listen, give us a like,
and a subscribe. Come and join us on our journey where we explore the depths of true crime Australia. Oh yeah.